Oh God and our Father, we thank you that you have spoken and you have given us the Holy Bible, your infallible, inerrant word. As we are going to listen to the explanation of your word and application of it, give us humility to receive your teaching. Give us faith to listen to you speaking to us. Oh God, we pray that you may come and show us your glory, your love, your excellency, so that we may truly say with the silence, your loving kindness is better than life itself. So come, oh God. Speak to us. Feed us with the bread from heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's turn to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. This is Luke's account of what is usually called the Lord's Prayer. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples, so Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Well, let's turn to the back page of the newsletter. Here we have the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And how about if I ask the question and together we read the answer. So, you ready? For what do we pray in the first request? Answer. In the first request, hallowed be your name. We pray that God will enable us and others to glorify him in everything he uses to make himself known, and that he will work out everything to his own glory. Well, we have been spending some time in looking at the Lord's Prayer, and we are going to go slow. We want to remind ourselves what this prayer is all about. So this morning, we are going to look at the first petition in the Lord's Prayer. You know the structure of the Lord's Prayer goes like this. First of all, we call upon God's name as our Father, and our Father who is in heaven. When we pray, we have to approach God with confidence, but also awe. He is our Father through Jesus, but our Father is in heaven, and we are on earth. And then we have six petitions. You remember, the first three are about God's name, God's kingdom, God's will, and then the last three petitions concern our own needs. Now that order of the Lord's Prayer is important, isn't it? It's teaching us. You and I are to put God first. When we come to the Bible, we discover something very distinctive. From its very beginning, It is that the Bible is a God-centered religion. The Bible, from its beginning to its end, is about God. It's about God's glory, His majesty, His name. It's a God-centered religion. And that stands to a great contrast to all the other religions, basically. All religions other than biblical religion is a man-centered religion. I'll give you one example. There is a famous temple in Hong Kong that come Chinese New Year. Thousands of people would flock to that temple and they would pray, they would ask for blessing, such as what? Health, wealth, having a good job, that my children may do well, that I may have a good marriage and things like that. And if those petitions were granted, so to say, people would come back again. But if not, people would quickly switch to another temple. That sort of religion is man-centered. Now, in case we should despise those who go to temples like that, think of modern-day Christianity. Is it not true that so much of it is human-centered? I go to church, I'm a Christian, and I expect God to bless me with health, with wealth, blessings in my family. I want my children and my children's children to be blessed. But if the Lord God should withhold any of this from me, I'm going to get discouraged. I'm not going to worship and serve Him anymore. That, too, is a man-centered religion. But biblical religion is entirely different. It centers upon God. It seeks God's glory and honor. And in the Lord's Prayer, in the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, how does it go? Now, I want our children, whether 4-year-old or in primary school, to say our text this morning. Can you say that, little Grace? Our Bible text this morning is Wesley. Hallowed be your name. Just 4 words. We're going to ask Wesley and Grace next week what was the sermon about. It is what, Grace? Hallowed be your name. And all of us are going to consider this morning the first petition. Oh God, I want your name to be honored. I want your name to be held as important as sacred. And remember the Ten Commandments? Do you still remember the Ten Commandments? Yes or no? Have you been conscientiously to obey the Ten Commandments? From the first to the last? Seriously? Remember the third commandment? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. What is there in the name? Well, whether you call me Joe or Bob or Johnny, I don't really care. I better not tell you how I got my English name. My parents gave me my Chinese names that was in my birth certificate. But in those days, young people in Hong Kong, because it was a British colony, many of us have English names. And then somehow I just pick up the name Johnny. You can guess where I got that name and that spelling. All right, some of you are smiling. You know where I got it. Well, what is a name? To us, it's not very important. But to God, His name is so important. In the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, we are going to ask that God's name may be held as honorable, as important, as holy. We ask that God may set apart His own name as holy. God's name represents His person. It stands for His being. It represents His attributes. God's name represents all that God is. God's name stands for God and all that He is. And in the first petition, we are asking God, oh God, may You exert Your power. May You so work that Your name, Your holy name, may be upheld. That people may set apart Your name as holy and important and glorious. Now this is the first petition in the Lord's Prayer, because this is of first importance. But friends, I want to ask you, am I right to say this, that this is perhaps the last thing we've been praying for? Friends, what have you been praying lately? What has been the burden on your heart? If you feel your needs, you must be praying. If you're a believer in Christ, you must be praying. But let me ask you, as well as myself, what have we been praying? What is the most important thing you've been praying for the past 6 months or the past year? What is that matter or matters? You ask yourself, you search your heart. Let me ask you, is it that you've been praying, oh God, may Your name be held in honor? The 19th century British missionary to India and later on to Persia, Henry Martyn. He was a brilliant man from Cambridge. He went to India and he heard the name of Jesus being mocked day by day by the people there. The majority are Hindus, the minority are Muslims. And Henry Martyn heard the name of Christ being disgraced every day. And he said, I just cannot live anymore like this. I can't endure that. To hear the name of my blessed Lord Jesus to be so disgraced. For that reason, he was a missionary to India, to Persia. Later on, he died on the way back home for a break. To many Christian believers, they prefer death rather than denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Only 2 Sundays ago, there was a famous congregation in Chengdu, Sichuan, China. When they were together for the worship of God for the Lord's Supper, Some 60 to 70 military police came in, raided that place, arrested some elders there, and detained the elderly and the children until evening. Why would those Christian people still keep on meeting week after week? Their own pastor, Pastor Wang Yi, has been in prison for some years and got a sentence in prison for over 10 years. But the people still meet. The elders still meet. Why do they still profess the name of Christ? Why not give up? Because they hold the name of Christ dearly. Around the year 155 AD, there was an aged bishop of Smyrna. If you have read Revelation, you know the church in Smyrna did not receive any rebuke from Christ. The aged bishop Polycarp was arrested, and the Roman proconsul counseled him. You just deny Christ, you just blaspheme against Christ, and I will set you free. Look at you, you are such an elderly man. Have pity upon your age. You know how Polycarp answered? He said, "For 86 years have I been serving Christ, and he never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior?" And he died a violent death. Preferring to forfeit his life than to disgrace the name of God. What a testimony. Why is hallowing God's name of such importance? Why is God so concerned about his name? Well, people are going to ask. You know why? It's because God is the highest and the greatest good in the entire universe. There are many good things in this world. I remember sharing the gospel with an Indian scholar, and he was a real scholar. Probably about 30 years ago, something like that. He was into artificial intelligence, and he said, "Well, people are not interested in that." He felt neglected and so on. And we were talking about the Bible. We were talking about sin. And then he said, "Oh yes, what you said is right. In our Indian culture, even killing a mosquito or an ant is a sin." I said, "Well, that may not be a sin if you kill a mosquito or an ant. Maybe it's good to spare the poor mosquitoes of his life or the ants of his life. Maybe it's a good thing. But there are times when women need to kill the mosquitoes or the ants. There are many good things in this universe, but the supreme good in this world, in this entire universe, is God himself. Why? Because he's God. He's the greatest and highest being. He made all things. He sustained all things. And we are told by the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the chief end of man, the primary purpose of humanity, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Because God is the greatest and supreme good, therefore his name is so important. And in the Lord's Prayer, we are taught to set apart the name of God. as holy. Now we move on to consider, how can we, or how do we honor God's name? First and foremost, we honor God's name by believing Him and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 23, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. First and foremost, we honor God's name by believing in what He has revealed about Himself. God has told us what He is like. God has sent His only begotten Son into this world. When we believe in Christ, when we honor Christ, we honor the Father. There are many people in our society who say something like this to us, well, we don't exactly believe in the God of the Bible, we don't believe in the Holy Trinity, but we believe in God, and we honor God. Is that okay? Just a few days ago, I met maybe 4 to 5 Jehovah's Witnesses walking on Robey Street. I could recognize Jehovah's Witness half a kilometer away. I don't know why. I just caught sight of them, and I know they're Jehovah's Witnesses. They're always well-dressed, very nice people. And one of them was walking difficult. An older lady having a walking stick, and she was walking with her group, knocking at doors in our neighborhood. I was disturbed deeply. First, these people are so diligent and hardworking in spreading their religion. What am I doing? That disturbed me. Secondly, they are working so hard to go around everywhere to say Jesus is not fully God. They are sincere, but sincerely wrong. And those people, so sincere, you realize, cannot be saved. I try to search my Bible and see whether those people can be saved. Is it possible? They're so sincere. They believe in God, yes. They say they believe in Jesus, yes. But it's just that Jesus is not fully, truly God. Just less than God. Is that possible for them to be saved? Oh, I wish. But I search the Bible. It's impossible. We don't honor God unless we believe Jesus is the very Son of God, equal in power and dignity with the Father, that the Son of God has come in human flesh and is both God and man in one person, that Christ our Lord lived a sinless life, and that on the cross He bore the sins of sinners and was punished in their place, and He rose on the third day, and is now exalted to the right hand of God the Father, and is coming back to judge the living and the dead. We honor God by believing in Jesus to be the very Son of God and our Savior. We don't honor God's name if we don't believe in Christ, the Holy Trinity. Secondly, we honor God's name by obeying His word, all His commandments. My dear friends, what do we do if we are not conscientious to obey all God's commandments all the time. I'm not saying that we can perfectly keep God's commandments, but I'm saying that we can only honor God if our deepest commitment is to obey God and His word and His commandments all the time. Think of this. And this is literally true. A man said to me, quite sincerely, he said, "Well, I've been very conscientious to keep my marriage vows." Most of the time. Most of the time, I've kept my marriage vows. What does that mean? What does that mean, my dear friends? You got it? Most of the time, I keep my marriage vows. I've been faithful to my wife 90% of my time. Will you ladies accept that as faithfulness to the marriage vows? We honor God, but really committed to keep His word all the time, all His commandments. And thirdly, we honor God when we value His worship as of the first importance. We really set God's name apart if we say, when we say, "Well, God's worship is more important than our works, our studies, our relatives." I met a pastor friend. He pastored a Chinese congregation. And he said his young people would stop coming to church come year 11 and year 12. And they would go back to church once they finished the HSC. Is that honoring God? What do you think? Is that honoring God? What do we do in church, my dear friends? Why are you here this morning? We come to church to praise God. We come to church to listen to Him speaking to us through the reading and preaching of God's word. And friends, it's not just the preaching of God's word. It's also the reading of God's word. We place great importance in the listening to the reading of God's word. We come here to praise God, to say that God is honorable and is worthy of our worship and honor. And our worship on earth is a foretaste of heaven. Turn to Revelation chapter 7, the passage we heard this morning, just now. In verse 9 of Revelation chapter 7. Now this is a picture of heavenly worship. I wonder whether you would like to have a glimpse of heaven. Here we have a glimpse of heaven. How does it look like? John says, "After these things I looked and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And then we are told, "All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders representing the whole church and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And John, and one of the elders asked John, well, who are these? Away in white robes? And where did they come from? And John was very clever. He said, well, sir, you know. And he was told, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and wash their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. My dear friends, this is heaven. You read it in your Bible. I don't make this up. What is heaven? It's worship. Now, what are these people? These people have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. And they're before the throne of God and the Lamb, before God and the Son. And they're worshiping God, you know, this day and night, and singing or saying praises to God. May all glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving be to you, O God, and the Lamb. This is heaven. And friends, let me ask you, will you be happy there with the saints in glory? I still remember my ministers years ago said to the congregation, in that congregation there was a choir in those days, and they said, well, on earth, we don't all join the choir. But in heaven, we're all part of the choir. Will you be happy there, day and night, praising God and worshiping God and the Lamb? We honor God by valuing the worship of His name above all things. Like those Christians in that church in China. They value the worship of God. And these people were telling the government, they said, well, we can't meet anymore like that. They said, well, if we can't meet, in building a meet in the park. Well, how about that? We must worship. We hallow God's name by valuing His worship. And furthermore, we honor God's name when you and I bless God in our affliction and suffering. Remember Job? The biblical Job? What happened to him? He was a rich man. He got thousands of cattle and other possessions. He got 10 lovely children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. And one day, he lost all his possession. And all his 10 children were killed. That was terrible. How could anyone bear that? And he was the most godly man. His wife said to him, my dear darling, curse God and die. There's not much fun to live anymore. You were such a godly man, and God allowed that to happen to you. Curse God and die. And he said to his wife, you're a foolish woman. So we receive good things from the Lord and not bad things. It's good for a man to listen to his wife, but not all the times. Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends, when we hear that, when we hear any believer saying that, that is really honoring God. Don't just be fair, we're the Christians. Can you imagine a girl who's engaged, be married, and then her fiancé should say to me, I should say to her, sorry for the confusion of genders, but look, darling, I tell you what, I lost my job. Good job. I lost all my savings. I put in Bitcoin, forgot the password. Will you still marry me? What if the girl should say to him, well, sorry to hear that. Well, this is your ring. Take it back. That would be dishonoring the boy. But if the girl should say, why should you say that? For better, for worse, in heaven, in sickness, till death shall we part. And I'm going to mean it. That is honoring a fiancé. We honor God when we bless God in afflictions and sufferings. We honor God by holding his name in reverence and awe. My dear friend, it grieves me deeply that increasingly in the English language, people just abuse God's name. In every second sentence, people say, oh my! The blessed name of our Lord Jesus is used as names of abuse. Does it hurt you? Why should people abuse God's name like that? We honor God's name by standing up for His truth. We live in a time when even the basic standard of morality is being assaulted. Even common sense reality is being denied. And you know there's a cost in standing up for the truth. We may lose our jobs. We may upset people. People may say, well, it hurts me when they say that. You know what I used to say when I hear people abuse God's name? I say to them, it hurts me when you abuse the name of my Savior and my God. And I learned it from an Italian banker working in London whom I met in Hong Kong. He told me, well, in his team, he told the people working together with him, people under him, he said, well, it really hurts me when you say, oh my, or the. And he said people would slap that. It wasn't joking, it really hurts you. Try that. We really honor God's name by telling others the gospel and bring Christ to them. Now before we finish, I just want to remind you, how can we learn to value God's name more? Let's be honest. Let's be very honest. There is a deep-seated disregard of God's name, even in our hearts. We've got an aversion to be so committed to honor God's name. How can we learn to value God's name and to honor His name more? First, let me tell you this, by knowing God better. There's a 20th century classic in terms of Christian books called Knowing God by J.I. Packer. There's a Chinese translation of that book. I gave my Chinese translation away. Actually, no, the translator of that book. So any one of you who want to read it, Chinese, English, other languages, are still available. My dear friends, the more we know God, the more we are going to enjoy Him, and the more we are going to honor God's name. There's one kind of Christian book that I want to read more than other types of Christian books. You know what that is? It's Christian books that will tell me what God is like. The one kind of Christian books that I would like to read more and more and study more and more is books that will tell me in detail the attributes of God, His being, because I know the more I know God, the more I'm going to value His name. It doesn't work with other people. It doesn't work with other things. There's a limit to every single human being. When love is first born into love, they're so excited. Well, I'm so excited about my boyfriend or my girlfriend. But then after you got married, usually when you know the person better and you know his limitations, his shortcomings, you can't be so excited. You can't be increasingly excited about your husband and wife. Usually it's not that, because human beings are limited. But the more we know God, the more we are going to value Him. And that's why it is possible. It's a fact, it's a reality that in heaven above, the people of God are praising and blessing Him day and night to all eternity, because their knowledge of God is going to increase more and more each day. And lastly, we come to value God's name more when we learn to cultivate greater love for God. We are to discipline our mind to think of God's love for us. As Paul says, Christ loved me and gave Himself for me. The love of Christ compelled us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all die. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. This God loved me so much that He gave me His Son. And God the Son gave Himself for me, and He shed His blood for me. So I not love Him. Friends, let us give our time to cultivate love for God. And I use that word carefully, cultivate. All love takes time to cultivate. Our friend George Johnston, when he was in his 60s, he won year after year the garden competition of the Old Botany Council. Yes? He did that year after year. He told me time and again, I didn't spend time for beer in the pub, things like that. I spent all my money buying seed. I spent my time planting, sowing seed, fertilizing, weeding. You know, friends, it takes time. I love to have fruit in my garden. I bought some seed years ago. My wife told me, don't waste your money for the seed. You won't have the time to do that. You want to be a gardener? You need the time and the patience and the energy to do the sowing, the weeding, the fertilizing. You want to know the love of God. It takes time to cultivate that. And when we know the love of God, Lord, we're going to honor His holy name. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we have to be honest with you. Our love for you is so weak. Our faith in you is so feeble, so small. Lord, we pray that your Spirit may work mightily among us and in us, that we may be moved and touched by your love for us, and that we may learn to study your being, your attributes, and that we may learn to value your name, and that we may want to tell others your glorious name, your wondrous name, your name of love. O God, hear us. Help us to hallow your name as our first importance. For Jesus' sake.